We could go all the way back to chapter 11 and verse 43, and we see that Solomon died. Now, Solomon, of course, we know, son of David, and great king, powerful king, rich king, wise king. And we know about the wisdom of Solomon. But, you know, in the end of his life, Solomon stepped away from faith. He, you know, did he believe in God? I mean, he knew God. God talked to him. It's not like this mystery if there's a God. He knew there was God. But he allowed himself to be distracted and compromised by, you know, whether it be money or, you know, and he had plenty of money, but if you ask people who have money, a lot of them say more is necessary. So, you know, he wanted more, or was it the women? Was it the wives, so many wives that he had? I don't know. It doesn't really say, but it says that he compromised his integrity and he stopped leading toward God and allowed, you know, all these other religions and false gods to pop up. And God was not happy about that. And so God sent him a messenger, a prophet, and he said, Solomon, I'm going to take the kingdom. I'm going to take the whole kingdom. I'm going to leave one tribe, the tribe of Judah. And he said, I'm only doing that because of David. But he said, I won't do it during your years because of David. But it'll come after you're gone. It will happen. And so Solomon dies, that's chapter 11, and Rehoboam, his son, becomes king. And when Rehoboam becomes king, and we should mention there was a fellow named Jeroboam, and Jeroboam was actually approached by a prophet who said, you are going to be the leader of Israel. And so, I mean, what would you do? Solomon's king, and somebody comes and tells you you're going to be king. It kind of makes it awkward. And Solomon actually goes to destroy him. You know, he's going to get rid of this guy. He thinks he's going to be king. I'm the king. You can't be king. Jeroboam flees and goes to Egypt. And so in chapter 12, when Rehoboam becomes king, Jeroboam hears that Solomon has died. That's big news. And Jeroboam decides, you know what, I think I'll go back. And it tells us that the Jews actually sent for Jeroboam. They wanted him to come back. So Jeroboam returns and they say, look, we need you. And Jeroboam says, what can I do to help? And they said, you know, Solomon was tough on us. He made us work hard. He taxed us. I mean, it was hard. Solomon was a difficult king. He was an oppressive king. We need a break. We want some rest. So can you go and approach Rehoboam and ask if maybe we can lighten the load? And can you lead that committee? And Jeroboam says, I'll go. Let's go. And so they go up to Rehoboam and they say to Rehoboam, hey, you know, life under Solomon was not easy for us. It was great for him. It wasn't good for us. And he got rich on our backs, and we want a break. We need a break. And Rehoboam says, let me take it under advisement. I hear what you're saying. Give me a few days, and I'll get back to you. So he goes to the aged, you know, the gray heads, and he says, here's what the people have said. They've requested that we kind of back off on the taxes. Give him a little break, you know, let him rest, you know, just not be as difficult as my dad was. And the aged men said, you know what? If you will do that, those people will be loyal to you. If you will just hear what they're saying, if you will answer their need according to their desire, I mean, Rehoboam, really, what do you really need them to be taxed like that anymore? I mean, just let's give them a break. Let's back off a little bit. And he says, okay, I'll take that under advisement. Let me think about it. And then he goes to his buddies, right? The young guys, his college friends, if you will. And he says, so guys, here's what I'm up against. Here's what they're asking for. And this is what the old men say. What do you think? They said, Rehoboam, you're king, man. Do whatever you want to do. In fact, when you go back, tell them, if you think Solomon was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. Right, you tell them if they think Solomon was tough on them, just better buckle up and get ready because you're the king, Rehoboam, and you get more from them and more work and more taxes, and you tell them you're the king and you do what you want to do. And Rehoboam says, yeah, I'm the king. That's not in the King James. That's in the Pahokee translation. You can look it up. And so Rehoboam calls the people back, you know, come back. It's 3 days have passed. He calls them back. He says, here's what we're going to do. And he rehearses to them everything that the young men had said. We're going to make it harder. You think my dad was bad? Get ready. And they said, the people say to Rehoboam, you know what? We don't need you. What profit do we have? What benefit is there for us to be loyal to David? Right? David's been dead. We have no part in this. We're going back home. We're done with you. And of course, you know, the tax collectors are still out there and they still want their taxes, and the people of Israel are saying, we're not paying it. We're done. We told you we were done. We're done. I don't know if we get away with that here today, but they didn't get away with it, right? So actually what they did is they called Jeroboam and they said, Jeroboam, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make you our king. That fulfilled the prophecy. That's what was said was going to happen when Solomon was still king. The prophet said, Jeroboam, you're going to be king. And so Jeroboam becomes the king of Israel, except for Judah, just like was prophesied. If God says it's going to happen, you can count on it. God said, let there be light. Light had no chance but to be. All right, that's how it works. And when God says, you know, when Jesus says, I'm coming back, that he meant what he said. So we can count on God's word, just like they could. Well, Jeroboam becomes king. And that was a punishment to Israel. That was a punishment to Solomon. But guess what? Jeroboam is no deal. Right? He's not what God would want. In fact, what Jeroboam does, excuse me, in chapter 12, is he considers the people of Israel, and he says, you know, and those of you who say, why haven't we read the Bible yet? We will. All right? Jeroboam says, the people of Israel are a religious people. They are a godly people. And where is their temple? Jerusalem. Right? Where is Jerusalem? Judah. Who's the king of Judah? Rehoboam. You see, with the Jewish people, there's this saying, even today, that we should go to Jerusalem for the three feasts, the three great feasts throughout the year. If we can't go to all three, we should at least go to Jerusalem for one, that being Passover. And today it has expanded to say, if you can't go every year for Passover, you must at least go once in your life to Jerusalem. So Jeroboam says if they do that, they're going to see the temple. If they serve in the temple, they're going to remember God, and they're going to remember who they are, and they're going to be loyal to Rehoboam again. We can't have that. So what can we do? Let's make two golden calves, and let's make two temples. One in Dan, of course you know Dan's in the north end of Israel, and one in Bethel. And let's put two golden calves, and here's what we'll say. The gods that brought you out of Egypt should be worshipped. And you don't travel all the way to Jerusalem. It's too hard, right? Going to church three times a week, that's too hard. Right? Going to church every Sunday, that's too hard. Right? So just make it more convenient. Work it out when you can. But we're going to make it more convenient. We're going to put one temple here, one altar here. You can bring your offerings to the God that brought you out of Egypt, the golden calf. Or you can go to Bethel and you can bring your offerings to the God that brought you out of Egypt, the golden calf. Well, how do you think that made God? Think that made God happy? Absolutely not. And so, God comes to judge Jeroboam. Chapter 13. All right? We came all the way this far. You want to read the Bible now? Chapter 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah. Okay, remember, Judah, Jerusalem, Rehoboam's the king there. And he came from Judah by the word of the Lord, and he came to Bethel. What's at Bethel? One of those altars. One of those gods, right? One of those golden calves. And Jeroboam, king of Israel, stood by the altar to burn incense. What's the incense for? Well, the incense represents our prayers as they rise up to heaven. And the man of God, verse 2, cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and he said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. Upon thee, upon this altar, shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. Men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. So this false religion that they have developed, the man of God says, it's going to end here. And the bones of the priests will be burned here. And he gave a sign, verse 3, that same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. So a broken altar. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Bethel, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it to him again. His arms just stuck there. The altar also was rent, just like he prophesied. And the ashes poured out from the altar, just like he prophesied, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now, hang on just a second. Stop reading. Now, Jeroboam is there acting as the king and the priest. And now his arm is frozen. So what does he do? Because he's shouting against this preacher, this prophet. And he said, you can't do, y'all get a hold of him. Get him out of here. What does he do? He says, hey, could you pray for me? Isn't that great? He changed his mind. That preacher's not so bad after all. You know, and let's just face it, guys, that is how it works. I can't tell you how many people wouldn't have anything to do with the church until they needed the preacher. They walked out, they turned their back, they wanted nothing to do with it, and then a crisis came, and they needed prayer. By the way, you know what I'll do? I'll pray for them. You know what I'll do? I'll listen to them, and I'll love them, not just me, but the whole church. Guys, that's what we do. That's who we are. But Jeroboam had stood against the prophet, and now he needs the prophet. And so the king answered unto the man of God, entreat now, verse 6, the face of the Lord thy God, pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and it became as it was before. Isn't that incredible? Now, hey, now he knows. Now he knows. Now he knows that God is real. Now he knows the prophet is real. Now he knows the word against the altar is real. If nobody else knows it, he knows it because of his hand. And he's so grateful, he says to the man of God, hey, come home with me. Come home with me, refresh yourself. We'll get some food. We'll have some drinks. I'll give you a reward. Right? That's verse number 7. Verse 8, the man of God said to the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So the man of God, let's see what happens here. Jeroboam wants to celebrate the man of God. The man of God says, it's not about me. It's about the message. And I delivered the message, and that's all I'm supposed to do, is deliver the message. Guys, we're not responsible for people to get saved, but we are accountable to give them the message. Well, I can't keep people out of hell, but I can tell them there is a hell. I can't get them into heaven, but I can paint them a picture of a wonderful heaven. I can't get them to accept Jesus, but I can tell them how great Jesus is in me. Guys, that's what our job is, that. The message. They don't need to celebrate us. They need to celebrate God. They need to hear the message. We need to give the message. It's not about it. Give the message and move on. Give the message and move on. That was what happened here. And the man of God said, I get it. God told me, come in, don't eat, don't drink. Now, see, a lot of people would say, well, he said, don't drink water. You got any wine? Right? He said, don't eat bread. You got any meat? See, that's how we are today. God's message was, get in, get the message, move on. I want this to be. Think about God's mind. I want it to be mysterious. I want the people to remember it. I want it to really make an impression on them, but I don't want them to get chummy with the preacher so that they're familiar with the preacher and they lose the message. What's important is the message. And so the man of God leaves. Great, but that's not the end. There's an old prophet that lives there, an old prophet. I think of this old prophet and I think about an old prophet who used to preach, but now there's a new church in town, and it's the Church of the Golden Calf, and they're drawing all the crowd, and so he's got nothing to do anymore, and nobody comes to hear his sermons, and so he just kind of retires himself and languishes in the good old days of when I used to preach. You know, I used to fill the tent, I used to fill the building, and now those days are past. And he's just languishing. And then he hears there's a prophet, like a real prophet. Like he put his hand out and it froze. And then he prayed and it unfroze. And he said the altar would be torn in two and just break in half and the ashes would pour out. And that's exactly what happened. He's the real deal. And the old prophet says, I want to meet that guy. He says, where is he? And they say, well, he's out. He left. He came in this side of town. He went out that side of town. He said he couldn't stop. He had to go. He says, get my animal, let's go. He saddles up. He starts riding out. He comes across a man that's walking. He looks like a preacher. Right? Do people just look like Baptist preachers? There used to be a certain look, didn't there? Like the horn-rimmed glasses and the black suit, all short hair, you know, tight haircut, right? Used to be that way. Now they got man buns and skinny jeans. Right? Y'all are a lot of fun, you know? And so, so he comes across this guy and he says, you look like a preacher. He said, I am a preacher. He says, you're the one that just came through there? I'm the one that just came through there. He says, come back and go with me. He goes, no, no, no. God told me not to eat bread, not to drink water, but to give my message and be on my way. And the old prophet says, oh, but hang on a second. There's an update. God told me it's okay. Hey, guys, be careful. Be careful with those updates. It says, God told me it's okay. What does his word say? Let me assure you of this. God will never tell you to do something that goes against what he wrote right there. So if you feel like God has told you to do something that goes against what's written there, either you misunderstood what's written or you misunderstood what you heard. Now, that's not to say, look, over the years we've come to light on a lot of subjects that preachers in the old days got wrong. And they got it wrong. There's no way around it. But when we look at the Word of God, don't tell me how you logically came to grips with what you believe and how it doesn't reconcile with the Bible, but it's okay. No, if it doesn't reconcile with the Bible, it's not okay. He says, no, it's okay. God told me it's okay. He said, God told you? He said, God told me. He said, okay, let's go. And so they went back to the house, and they broke out the meal, and he's sitting there eating. And as he's sitting there eating, the old prophet sitting across from that prophet from Judah, and he says, oh, boy, you done messed up. He said, what do you mean? He said, God told you don't eat here. God told you don't drink here. God told you come in one side of the town and go out the other side of the town, and yet here you are. But you told me it's okay. No, it's not okay. I told my wife this was going to find its way into a sermon, so I'll share it with you. She got something to hang on the wall last night, and we hung it on the wall, Brother Ronnie, all by ourselves. And backed up and looked at it, and she said, that's crooked. Well, there's a picture, big family picture hanging above it. And you could tell it was off. She said, do you have a level? I said, I'll go get the level. And so she undid it and she said, oh, I got it now. Just tighten that. Okay. I said, you want me to go get the level? No, it's straight now. Hung it back up there. It's crooked. I said, let me go get the level. Okay, go get the level. So I got the level, and we put it on there, Brother Jimmy, and you know what? It was level. It was the picture up top that was crooked. You remember when the Lord said, I'll put a plumb line in the midst. Guys, we can't tell if we're straight if we're measuring ourselves against something that's crooked. See, you can't measure yourself to me. I can't measure myself to you. The only way we can measure ourselves is by the standard which God has established. And that is His Word and Himself. By the way, we straighten the picture. The old prophet says, now what? Or the young prophet says, now what? And the old prophet said, God's going to judge you for what you did. He told you not to do this and you did it anyway. The old prophet, the young prophet, saddles up and starts headed back to Judah. A lion meets him in the way and kills him. That old prophet who just desired some fellowship from another preacher, but lied on God. In fact, the Bible says, but he lied. Three words, but he lied. Comes out there and finds the body. And gives him a burial. Guys, we cannot manipulate people for our own benefit. We can't tell people that God said it just because it's going to make us feel better. We need to stick to the Word. And if that means that we have to abandon some tradition, then let it be that. We've got to be biblical. I hope that that's what you desire, because that's what God desires. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much. We're thankful for your blessings in our lives. And God, as we look at this, we realize that we've been given a commission. We've been given a role. We don't want to be like Solomon, who had good days, but in the final chapter, he backslid. We don't want to be like Jeroboam, who while he gained a short victory, he turned himself against you, and he turned the people against you. We don't want to be like that old preacher who lied to get his way. We don't want to be like that young preacher who listened to the liar and lost his ministry and his life. God, use us for your glory. Make us what you'd have us to be. Use us this week. If there be an opportunity, God, use us tonight. Forgive our sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.